I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
Behind us, we have migrants who are asylum seekers, who some of whom have been here for 6 days, 7 days. Some of them are just arrived last night, and they are in squalid conditions, don't have access to food or to water.
The Trump-era Title 42 policy has come to an end, but the Biden administration's instituted what critics say is a new asylum ban. We'll go to San Diego to look at what's happening at the border. This comes as a group of House Democrats are urging the Biden administration to lift sanctions on Venezuela and Cuba, which they say are driving people to leave their homes out of economic desperation. Then we look at the political crisis in Pakistan. Pakistan's former Prime Minister Imran Khan has been freed on bail 3 days after his arrest sparked mass protests. And we go to Belgrade, Serbia, which is reeling after 17 people were shot dead in two massacres last week, including Serbia's first ever school shooting, where the shooter was a 13-year-old.
The government has proposed very stringent measures to, as the president put it, to disarm Serbia.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Title 42, the Trump-era pandemic policy that was used to expel nearly 3 million asylum seekers at the U.S.-Mexico border without due process, was lifted Thursday just before midnight after 3 years of enforcement. Thousands of migrants have been stranded across the southern border, hoping to be processed and allowed into the United States. But many will likely be blocked as the Biden administration begins implementing what immigration rights advocates have denounced as another ban on the right to seek asylum under domestic and international law. A new policy announced this week would force the majority of asylum seekers to request refugee status in another country before reaching the U.S. or face quick deportation. The ACLU and others are suing over the rule. Another directive requires asylum applicants to make their appointments on a Customs and Border Protection smartphone app that asylum applicants say is riddled with software bugs and raises serious concerns over privacy. At the San Ysidro border crossing in California, hundreds of asylum seekers have been sleeping on the ground under trash bags and foil blankets, with many reporting they've not eaten in days. This is Hashmatullah Habibi, an asylum seeker from Afghanistan, who said Thursday he and his family have nowhere else to go.
Oh, I'm just hoping and praying that today they take us in, because if they don't take us in, then my future and my family future is in dark. Because we escaped from dark place, dark side, and we came here for a better life. And if they don't take us in, the situation will be more awful for us, because we cannot go back and we cannot come in. So it's like dying situation.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection has detained some 28,000 migrants at its border facilities in recent days. Meanwhile, the number of asylum seekers attempting to cross into the United States has topped 10,000 a day as people continue to flee violence, extreme poverty and the impacts of the climate crisis. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas Thursday warned migrants arriving at the border of even harsher consequences.
If anyone arrives at our southern border after midnight tonight, they will be presumed ineligible for asylum and subject to steeper consequences for unlawful entry, including a minimum 5-year ban on reentry and potential criminal prosecution.
We'll go to San Diego for the latest from the U.S.-Mexico border. The former Marine who killed the beloved street performer Jordan Neely is expected to be arrested today for second-degree manslaughter. Video shows Daniel Penny held Neely in a chokehold for 15 minutes on a New York City subway train May 1st, leading to Neely's death. Penny was questioned by police shortly after the killing, but was initially released without charge. Meanwhile, protests continue in New York demanding justice for Jordan Neely. This is Selena Trowell, an organizer at Vocal New York.
But we need accountability, and that comes from the mayor and the governor, because his death is on their hands. For legitimizing that type of murder.
To see our conversation about Jordan Neely, go to democracynow.org. Prospects for a ceasefire between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Islamic Jihad have faded after a lull in fighting. Israeli warplanes have resumed bombing the Gaza Strip, and Palestinians fired hundreds of long-range rockets into Israel and toward illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank. A 70-year-old man was killed Thursday when a rocket crashed into the Israeli city of Rehovot. At least 31 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli assaults, including children. This is Melina Al-Hindi, a 39-year-old mother living in Khan Yunis.
We feel unsafe, even at home. We go in and out of the house, but we are afraid. One could be going down the street when a rocket hits, never to return. We don't know what will happen to us and to our children. This situation in Gaza is not normal. It is terrifying, beyond anything you can imagine.
In Sudan, warring parties have signed an agreement pledging to protect civilians and allowing for humanitarian aid to safely reach them. The Sudanese army and the paramilitary rapid support forces failed to agree to a ceasefire as talks continue in Saudi Arabia. Since fighting broke out April 15th, more than 600 people have been killed. At least 18 of those were humanitarian workers. Over 700,000 people have been internally displaced. In Pakistan, former Prime Minister Imran Khan has been released on bail on orders from the Islamabad High Court after Pakistan's Supreme Court Thursday ruled his arrest was invalid and unlawful. Khan is accused of multiple corruption charges, and his arrest has sparked widespread protests. At least 8 people have been killed, some 2,000 arrested in the ensuing violence. As Khan's supporters prepared to march on the capital, police issued an emergency order banning gatherings by more than 4 people. In Guinea, protests against the military government resumed Thursday, one day after activists said at least 7 people were killed and dozens injured in demonstrations across the country. The military took control over the West African nation after a 2021 coup and have been slow to transition leadership back to a democratically elected government. This is a resident of the capital, Conakry.
If it continues like this, it won't be good. I don't like demonstrations. We like peace. These protests are really tiring, and we are exhausted.
International travelers arriving in the United States will no longer have to show proof of vaccination against COVID-19. The requirement was lifted as the U.S. government Thursday formally ended its public health emergency in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Last week, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 is no longer a global health emergency. COVID-19 has killed more than 1.1 million people around the United States, though that's widely believed to be a significant undercount. Globally, there have been nearly 7 million officially reported deaths. The true death toll is unknown, but the UN estimates at least 20 million. A judge in Virginia has struck down a federal law prohibiting the sale of handguns to 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, ruling the ban is an unconstitutional violation of the Second Amendment. The Justice Department will likely ask the judge to put the ruling on hold while it appeals the decision. The gun control advocacy group Every Town Law said Thursday's ruling will put lives at risk, adding, quote, "Not only are guns the leading cause of death for U.S. kids and teens, but research shows us that 18 to 20-year-olds commit gun homicides at triple the rate of adults 21 years and older," unquote. in Texas. The State House of Representatives on Thursday approved a bill banning devices that can turn handguns into fully automatic firearms. The devices, commonly called Glock switches, are already illegal under federal law. Texas lawmakers did not advance a bill that would have raised the age to purchase a semi-automatic assault rifle to 21. This came as high school students across Texas walked out of classes Thursday to demand new laws preventing gun violence. Their protest came less than a week after the mass shooting in Allen, Texas. The Supreme Court has ruled in favor of a transgender woman from Guatemala who's challenging her deportation. The justices unanimously backed Estrella Santos Zacaria, who now has another chance to argue for her right to asylum as she faces persecution back home. Santos Zacaria fled to the United States after being raped as a young teenager and threatened with death because she is transgender. And in another ruling, the Supreme Court sided with a California law that seeks to breed pigs more humanely by banning pork sales from farms where the animals are kept in confined spaces. The pork industry, which challenged the law, argued it infringed on individual state regulations where producers are based. Writing for the majority in a narrow 5-4 ruling, conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch said, quote, "While the Constitution addresses many weighty issues, the type of pork chops California merchants may sell is not on that list." And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show at the U.S.-Mexico border, where the pandemic policy known as Title 42, which was used to expel nearly 3 million asylum seekers without due process, was lifted Thursday at midnight, 3 years after it was implemented by Trump. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas announced the change while warning migrants of harsher consequences if they attempt to cross into the United States.
Let me be clear. The lifting of the Title 42 public health order does not mean our border is open. In fact, it is the contrary. Our use of our immigration enforcement authorities under Title 8 of the United States Code means tougher consequences for people who cross the border illegally. Unlike under Title 42, an individual who is removed under Title 8 is subject to at least a 5-year bar on re-entry into the United States and can face criminal prosecution if they attempt to cross again. We are conducting dozens of removal flights per week, and we continue to increase our removal flight capability. We are increasing our efficiency and reducing processing times at the border.
As Title 42 ends, thousands of migrants have been stranded across the southern border, hoping to be processed and allowed into the United States. This is a Venezuelan asylum seeker near the San Ysidro border crossing in California.
We got off one train to take another. The situation is challenging. All of us who are here are from Venezuela. Many migrants are in the same situation. It is difficult and complex. Every time they put more and more obstacles in our way, we will continue to move forward.
Most of the thousands seeking entry to the United States will likely be blocked as the Biden administration begins its implementation of what immigration rights advocates say is another ban on the right to seek asylum under both domestic and international law. A policy announced this week would force most asylum seekers to request refugee status in another country, like Mexico, before reaching the U.S. or face quick deportation. The ACLU and others are suing over the rule. Another directive requires asylum applicants to make their appointments on a Customs and Border Protection smartphone app that asylum seekers say is riddled with software bugs and raises serious concerns over privacy. Meanwhile, migrant detentions at the U.S.-Mexico border are hitting record highs as Title 42 ends. Border Patrol authorities said Wednesday they detained a record 28,000 people. For more, we go to San Diego, which is near the San Ysidro border crossing in California, where hundreds of asylum seekers have been sleeping on the ground under trash bags and foil blankets, with many reporting they haven't eaten in days. We're joined by Pedro Rios, director of the American Friends Service Committee's U.S.-Mexico border program. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Pedro. Can you talk about the situation as of midnight last night? But, of course, this has been building up.
Thank you, Amy. Yes, what we are seeing on the ground is that there are many people who are wanting to seek asylum, and as they cross into what is known as the enforcement zone, which is between the primary and the secondary border walls, is that they are essentially being left there, and Border Patrol is not providing, is not abiding by its national standards to ensure that they have safety, that they get food, that they have plenty of water and shelter. At this time, what we see is on a rotating basis, at least 400 people, asylum seekers with many children, who have been abandoned in this location until and waiting until Border Patrol picks them up.
So can you talk about how the Biden administration is dealing with this and talk about what people are telling you on the border, what they understand has changed?
The Biden administration is dealing with this very poorly. Essentially, it's placing even more obstacles for people that are fleeing harm by placing bans, by ensuring that people don't have a way to seek asylum, by forcing people to have to cross through these inhumane ways, and furthermore, ensuring that they are hungry, that they are thirsty. And when we speak with migrants on the ground, they tell us that they have no other options. They have tried using the CBP One application on their phone, and oftentimes it just doesn't work for them. There aren't many opportunities for them to present themselves at a port of entry to seek asylum. And therefore, they have been forced, especially under the application of Title 42, to seek other more dangerous ways of attempting to cross into the U.S. to turn themselves into U.S. authorities to seek asylum.
Pedro, you tweeted video of a CBP readiness exercise at the San Ysidro border that you said was meant to normalize violence as an acceptable response to people seeking asylum. Can you explain?
CBP, so Customs and Border Protection, especially under Trump and then extended under President Biden, have conducted these readiness exercises where they have several hundred CBP agents that go out at the port of entry. They close many lanes and for sometimes up to 45 minutes will hold these exercises. It's a show of force that use sound grenades. They use mock grenades as well, where they are meant to demonstrate the violence that they would use if there were a large group of people attempting to cross at that point at the port of entry. That has not occurred in many years. But what it does is it's a form of collective punishment because it makes it so violence becomes the acceptable form to respond to people that are seeking safety from harm. And it also conditions other border crossers to blame migrants, asylum seekers, from having to wait even more time at crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. This is something that we should not tolerate. It's not something that should be acceptable as a response to anyone who is seeking safety from the extreme migration patterns that they have been a part of and that they have experienced over the course of attempting to seek safety in the United States.
Over the last month, Pedro, about 100 asylum seekers have been stuck in a kind of open prison between San Diego and Mexico. Can you lay out the human rights standards for people seeking asylum at the border and whether that Customs and Border Patrol is seeking these standards when they hold people there with no food, with hardly any water? Community organizers like yourself out there all day and night trying to hand out food, baby supplies, charging phones, etc.
Yeah, so to describe the scenario, we have people that have crossed into the U.S. in the space known as the enforcement zone. This is between the primary and the secondary border walls. These are 30 feet high walls where they are intending to present themselves to Border Patrol agents to say, I fear for my life, I want to seek asylum. Border Patrol has to comply with national standards that say people need to be provided with basic food, with water, with shelter and kept away from harm. What we are seeing on the ground at this moment is that there are anywhere between 400 to 500 asylum seekers, including many children who are kept in that location. Border Patrol has pushed people into that location. They have sometimes they will take their shoelaces away from them. Sometimes they will move them into that location. And that is essentially an open air area without any way of receiving any food, with the exception of civil society that has gathered there and has been providing hot meals for them. And what we saw a couple of days ago, for instance, is that Border Patrol provided a single granola bar during the entire day. How is that possible to do that to children, especially those that are very little, who don't know anything about what's going on at the moment? And what we are seeking is for the Border Patrol to comply with these standards. These are standards that were developed back in 2015 after months-long conversations that they need to comply with basic human rights of ensuring that people under their custody are kept in safety. We are not seeing that happening at this moment at the U.S.-Mexico border in San Diego.
Here in California and Texas, the Department of Public Safety and military, we're seeing placing razor wire along the Rio Grande River in Brownsville to reinforce the border. Can you talk about the walls that President Biden said he wouldn't be building, but what's happening there?
What we are seeing is that there are several locations where President Biden is moving forward with building border walls. And these border walls resemble Trump's border walls in terms of the features, such as the height, the type of material that is used. But sometimes they're being branded under another name. In Texas, they are being called levee walls, but they mirror the same exact type of prototypes that President Trump at the time was proclaiming as completely unclimbable. In San Diego, for instance, in the Friendship Park area, he is proceeding with building two 30-foot border walls that will completely decimate the experience that families have had when they arrive at Friendship Park and are able to meet their loved ones, albeit divided by the primary border wall, but at least have that experience. The visual landscape will be transformed. The Bi-National Garden that is there will be completely destroyed. And it's something that we are asking President Biden to stop building Donald Trump's border walls. But we don't see any type of leeway in that direction, and we're hoping that civil society continues to lift their voices against these 30-foot border walls that are completely destructive.
Can you explain the harsher criminal consequences for those who cross, which means profit for the private detention centers, the jails along the border?
So for individuals now, after a post the Title 42 era, individuals that cross without inspection, who want to seek asylum, could be banned from doing so for 5 years. And this is something that we have not ever seen in terms of the decimation of what the promise of asylum was, that no person should be turned away and placed in greater danger. If someone is banned from seeking asylum, it absolutely ensures that that person likely will face harm either in their home country or in another country. There are the third country bans that we are seeing, what we are now calling the Biden bans. If someone did not seek asylum in a country that they transited through before arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border, then it's likely that the United States will prevent them and block them from seeking asylum in the United States because they did not seek asylum in a third country that they passed through. All of these anti-asylum measures are reconfiguring the concept of asylum to a point where it no longer offers the promise that it did post-World War II, where countries around the world were turning people back and people were dying as a result of not having safe harbor in other countries that should have accepted them.
And can you talk about what is happening now? I mean, this is not just happening along the border. We're broadcasting from New York. Mayor Adams has talked about possibility of putting migrants in a shuttered prison, have already shipping people out of New York City who were brought to New York City to places like Newburgh, New York. This is happening across the country, in Chicago and other places. What do you demand the Biden administration do at this point, Pedro Rios?
That's correct, Amy. And so what we are seeing is that President Biden is placing resources to further militarize the border by sending 1,500 troops to the border. We don't know what their function will be just yet, except that they're saying they will be having administrative tasks. But they do then add to the National Guard troops that certain states like Texas already have at the border. And this addition of additional military troops just paints a picture that migrants will not be welcomed with dignity, but in fact they will be welcomed with extreme force, that they will be turned away. And jurisdictions and other states, such as New York, should be receiving many more resources to expand the shelter services, to ensure that civil society has the means to transport people, to place asylum seekers in safe houses, at safe places, in safe shelters. We're not seeing the same commitment or dedication from the Biden administration to support those border counties and other states like New York to have the resources necessary to provide the support and help that asylum seekers need at the moment.
Finally, Trump just said he would, if he were president again, he would separate families again and also engage in the largest deportation of migrants in history. But before him, President Obama was dubbed the deporter-in-chief by his own immigrant rights allies. Of course, that was the Obama-Biden administration. Is Biden continuing, do you think, this policy that has gone from Obama to Trump through right now to Biden?
I think President Biden is, unfortunately, and I think this is it's not specific to the Republican Party. What I have been able to see and how I qualify this is that both the Republican and the Democratic Party just have never known how to properly center human rights for people that are seeking safety in the United States. In fact, it becomes a political football where the harsher you can be on border issues, the less protective you can be to migrants, means that that is a way to project their political campaigns and their political goals, undermining the premise that people should be treated with dignity and respect. And that's what we are seeing now under the new Biden transit ban, under the continued construction of 30-foot border walls at Friendship Park and elsewhere, and just the rejection of treating people with dignity as they are seeking safety in the United States.
Pedro Rios, I want to thank you for being with us, director of the American Friends Service Committee's U.S.-Mexico Border Program, speaking to us from San Diego, California. Coming up, a group of House Democrats are urging the Biden administration to lift sanctions on Venezuela and Cuba, which they say are driving people to leave their homes and head to the United States out of economic desperation. Stay with us.
Be reasonable and demand the impossible now. Okay, sing that. Be reasonable and demand the impossible now. All right. First, we'll tear down the towers, bring back the neighborhoods, start at the bottom, work down to the top. House all the homeless in the great halls of Congress. Ban all the guns and bust all the bad cops and be reasonable and demand the impossible now. Demand the impossible now. Well, we free up the freeways for bike lanes and walkways. Fast tracks and toll booths can all be shut down. Make systems for people. Do differences equal instead of the wrong way around. Well, be reasonable and demand the impossible now.
Be Reasonable, performed by Barbara Dane in Democracy Now! Studios in 2018. The legendary singer-activist turns 96 years old today. We'll be posting an extended interview with Barbara Dane on our website today. Check it out at democracynow.org. Happy birthday, Barbara Dane. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As Title 42 ends, officials say they expect to see more asylum seekers from many countries, including Cuba and Venezuela. On Wednesday, a group of 21 House Democrats urged President Biden to lift sanctions on both countries, calling them failed and indiscriminate, and adding that, quote, experts widely agree that broad-based U.S. sanctions expanded to an unprecedented level by former President Donald Trump are a critical contributing factor in the current increase in migration, unquote. Well, for more, we go to Francisco Rodriguez, a Venezuelan economist, author of a new report for the Center for Economic Policy and Research titled The Human Consequences of Economic Sanctions. Rodriguez is a professor of public and international affairs at the University of Denver's Corbell School of International Studies. He headed the Venezuelan